Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I am Joyanne Haig and I will be your moderator for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend, Mr. John Stout. The number to call, 434-1790. If you want to send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. Now, I want to send condolences to the family and friends of the late William Smokey Burke. Unfortunately, Smokey passed yesterday, and he fought the good fight. He did not lose the fight because he put up a good one, and God saw it fit to bring him home. So again, condolences to his family and friends on behalf of the staff of the Starcom Network. In addition, I also want to mention something that was brought to my attention 2 days ago in pertaining to online gaming. A parent actually brought the situation to me about their 13-year-old son. To those persons who may not feel that online predators are right here in Barbados, they're actually possibly that they are. The father is now going through a situation where he went online. He got into his son's email, and he discovered that a credit card was being used to make a purchase of a game. And the little boy claimed that he is unaware. Clearly, he probably was aware or is aware that he has been playing some online games through PlayStation and Xbox and Wii, that the online predators do exist. And they're now using gaming to infiltrate the ranks of innocent children and grooming them through these game chats. Now, you're not able to tell if the person is here or not, but whatever happened and that with that incident, a credit card transaction was made. It seemed as if to possibly lure the child, and an investigation is ongoing with the family pertaining to that situation. I don't think it's a police investigation at this stage. I hope it will turn out to be. However, the parents are speaking to the child and the school to find out what is going on. But a note to parents, you need to sit down with your children and explain the dangers, because it's not only about pedophiles out there. It's risk to your financial information. Of course, you know, children thinking that these people are innocent and they're not. Sometimes an online predator would disable their camera and ask the child to turn on their camera. This is to allow the predator to not be identified, and the poor child obviously thinking that, you know, they're just playing along a game. It's a pedophile trying to get their attention. In most cases, it's, well, boys and girls. We've heard a lot of situations with little boys being lured to do this. So I just wanted to put it out there for parents. You've got your children with these PlayStations and these games. Pay some attention to who they're chatting with while they're playing, because it has a feature where it allows them to play along with a person, and they may be playing along with this dangerous stranger. In addition to that, one more thing I want to mention, and it's be interesting to see what the feedback is going to be on this one, the paternity leave for men. Now, where do I start without sounding like if I am being biased against men? I'm not, because there are some excellent fathers that do a wonderful job, in some cases do even a better job than the mothers. But I would like to see moving forward the policies that they're going to put in place for this. Because you have some men in Barbados, where we refer to them as the village ram or the parish ram or the national ram, some cases the international ram. Would that person be allowed to get the leave and the money for more than one child? No. I know this is not a surprise to many people, because I know of several situations where a woman is pregnant with her significant other and she finds out 2 months later that the child has a half-brother or sister, same age, months apart. So would daddy then get the paternity benefits for two children, some cases three different children in 1 year? And how do we do it? Do we say if you're married only you're eligible, and then that discriminates then against fathers who may not live at home with the mother? How does that work? Does this mean that fathers now will step up because money is in it for them? Can we now see probably men stepping up and claiming children? That's another thing. And what about those who don't pay child support but want to claim the benefits? How are we going to manage that? These are the questions that I am posing to you today. It'll be interesting to get the feedback. And let me just do my disclaimer. I am not saying all men. I'm saying some men. I know some excellent fathers who do a better job than the mothers. But we're speaking to those who may fall short or have fallen short of their responsibility as fathers, and they're more likely just donors, and they're not really fathers. And the other thing too, what about the man who meets a woman, she's pregnant, it's not his child, but he wants to take care of her because the biological father is no longer there. Will he get access and in terms of benefit from the paternity leave and all the monies that would go along with it? So let's weigh in on your thoughts. We're going up until 1 o'clock today, I believe. So it's the Brass Tacks Express, according to Corey. So let's get started. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jaya.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah. I would like to weigh in on the 11 plus.
Yes.
All right. The pronouncement has been made about that exam. No suitable alternative has been arrived at as yet. And we do not have any tweaking of the present primary school program. So could you tell me what is going to be happening in the primary school the remainder of this term and next term?
Well, from what I read, there's going to be some national discussions on the abolition of the 11 plus. It was decided, yes, the country should not go in that direction. It has not been decided what the new way forward would be. I've heard some debate from persons stating, then why abolish something if you don't have the replacement? But I also know that sometimes in life, if something does not serve you well, you can get rid of it and continue it. I mean, so let me rephrase that. You can abolish it without knowing where you're going to, what you're going to do, because you have some time until you make that decision. And I believe that is what is happening here. But remember, the public will get a chance to weigh in. What I think some people are concerned about is, did the public get a chance to weigh in on whether you should abolish it or not?
No, that is not what I am asking you about.
Mm-hmm.
The programs in the primary school,
mm-hmm.
government primary school, were geared towards the 11 plus. Now, for anything that announcement was made, and there are children in class 3 and downward who are not doing the exam this year, don't you think there's going to be a noticeable approach in their approach to school work? They're the teachers and the parents, because they are not going to be writing any exam next year.
All right. Let me see if I could understand you. Doing an exam does not mean abolishing the 11 plus does not mean that you change the syllabus preparing persons for exams, because exams should really determine how much you know and what you need to do to help a person. You see, the thing is, when we look at exams, or some people look at exams, they look at it as who's coming first, who's better than who. And if you start changing the way you look at it and look at it from the perspective of, let's see where we can assist this child further, how then does that equate to you have to change up for the 11 plus? Children are supposed to be learning all the time. Children are supposed to have exams all the time so we can gauge where they are. Not about a competition of which school you should go to.
That is not what I was saying. If you had a child,
I do.
In class 3.
I did at one point.
And you were prepping that child through lessons for the 11 plus. Since you hear the pronouncement that is going to be abolished, Will you still continue to send that child to lessons?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question because, number one, I never prepped my children for no 11 plus exam. I prepped my children for life, for what the experiences that life will bring. And I also prep my children to know that if you wish to handle money, you need to calculate and you need to know maths. You need to know English. You need to know the ability to have good judgment and reason. You know, you have to be kind. These are the things. So I guess you're asking the wrong person because
there are parents who prep their children for the exam.
But I think this is why the government is trying to get away from that type of pressure. Do you think it is fair for a 10-year-old, 9-year-old to be under that kind of pressure to prepare for something and they don't even know what they want to do with their life?
The persons who are under pressure are the parents, you know. A lot of those children are not under any pressure.
No. The parents put that pressure on to children that they must go to this school or they want them to go to that school and not seeing it as, I'm here as a parent to prepare you for being an adult and everything that that entails, you know, as opposed to narrowing it down to English, math, and composition. Life is not only about English, math, and composition, and that's what the exam brings to the table. It doesn't bring anything else. That's just my opinion. So I'm saying to parents, if you're prepping your children for exams,
they prep the children for the exam.
But that's fine, and I understand that. That's because we were programmed to do it that way. What the government is trying to do is to set it up in a way where we can move away from that mindset and bring something different to the table by taking the 11 plus out of the equation. It doesn't stop your children from learning. It doesn't stop your child from having an exam. But again, an exam really should be used as a way to measure what this child knows and what this child may need help in. That's what it should be for, in my humble opinion. I'll share one thing with you. Both my daughters, I mean, everybody knows, there's Sky, there's Missy. The older one, she went to a private school, and I did not want to see the position in class. I don't care about position. The race is not against other people. The race is against yourself. So if she got 40% in maths one term and she came last, and then got 42 the next term and she came last, and 45 the next term and came last, I'm going to pat her on her back because she did better and better. So I'm not interested, nor should she, or any child, in my opinion. When you're running a race, don't look left and right, you will trip up. Keep focus, keep on track, and try to do your best. And I think that's the message that we should be bringing to our children. But again, that is just my take on it.
But the point I'm trying to make, okay, because of the government primary schools were geared for this exam, and now it is going to be abolished, they have not treated the programs. You will find that teachers now are not going to be overzealous about what the children do in school. The children are not going to be focused on what they're doing because they're not focusing on anything.
Because
they're just going to school to learn.
So basically what you're saying is the mindset for parents bringing the child into primary school was, listen, you ain't here because I gearing you towards Queen's College or Common Mayor.
That was the mindset of the school and teachers and society on the whole.
But how do we then go about changing the mindset? Do we not start with changing the whole process that brought us to that mindset, which would be taking the 11 plus out of it? Then let us then have the national discussion, which we are having from March next month, as to how we can ensure our children receive the same level of education, the same assistance. We may probably bring in more things into the syllabus, which would be life skills at the primary level. And I think this is a chance to show everybody that life is not about, or teach our children, is not about maths, English, and composition. It can't be. But I understand that you, like others, when you're accustomed to one thing, it takes a while sometimes to digest something different. And not every person is going to agree, which is fine. But I think we have to make the decision, not for, as parents, but what's best for our children.
Look, I have nothing against the exam. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's nothing wrong with the exam. I can tell you, no matter where a child goes, whichever school a child ends up at, and that child dedicates himself and does hard work, that child will succeed. So you don't tell me if you take some person who gets 30 marks and put them in Harrison College, because they're in Harrison College, that they are going to succeed.
So you base success on how much you
success
get?
Success has to do with the individual. You are playing yourself and doing what you have to do. And you could go to any school, mm-hmm. and once you have applied yourself, you will succeed.
But I understand that, but I was just still trying to bring it into what you're saying. Everybody, if you apply yourself even to being an office cleaner, if you're being a sanitation worker, whatever you do, you just do it to the best of your ability, and that's your success. No one can judge you and tell you that you're not successful if in your mind you have tried your best, you have reached where you want to reach. That's your own personal growth. Why should a child then be subjected to a parent saying that you have to be a doctor, you have to make sure you get to QC, you have to? What if that child just wants to be, I don't know, actually I met a little girl who said she wants to be an animal rescuer. I mean, children can make their minds up at some point. Parents have to guide that, but not demand that this is what he or she should be. And these, you have to be there for the 11 plus, and you're going to school to gear towards this 11 plus. I'm in agreement with abolishing it. I never subscribe to it. As I said, I have two daughters, one that did the 11 plus, and the other, unfortunately, due to the nature of the fact that she is mentally challenged, she would not qualify. But certainly, I don't measure my daughter's development, and I'm glad in a way that she doesn't have to be subjected to that, because her development is measured based upon her personality and her happiness, what she wants in life, not what I want.
So, now they have abolished the exam, what's mm-hmm. going to happen to the people who are mentally challenged?
Well, they were never in the equation to start with. That's number one.
Some of those used to do the exam. Well, they were given extra additional time and all that.
All right, but then when you abolish it, then persons who fall in that category of being mentally challenged or need assistance, then we continue to treat them in the same way as everybody. It just means that one person knows a little bit more in one area, the next person knows more in the other area, and we just develop our children. This competition thing is really should be down to sports and maybe music and fun things. That's where competition should lie when it comes to bringing the world together or the Olympics and stuff like that. But this thing about the curriculum where it's math and English and all academics, I don't subscribe to it. And I don't think that those with disabilities, right now I don't think the playing field is as level as it should be for persons with disabilities, and particularly those who are mentally challenged, actually pertaining to those who are mentally challenged and not physically challenged, because physically challenged persons get treated in a different way. But there's room for growth in terms of the those who are challenged mentally and development, and I certainly am on board with any improvements for our children, all of them, not just one set, all. But I want to thank you so much for your contribution. We have to take a break. Welcome back. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Joanne X. How are you, ma'am?
I am well, and you?
Yeah, to fine. Thanks. Now, just three very quick things I'm going to talk about. Won't take up long. Number one is the light and power. It's the second time this week our power went off. And in the St. James, I don't know about the other area, in the St. James where I live, and no explanation. You know, through that now, when I have to go and get a new stereo. My stereo that was there now, it, you know, where you put the CD in, will not close. It keep opening. Once you push it back in, it comes back out. They're not letting you know nothing when the power go off. Let us know what's causing it. It's too regular now.
Have you tried calling the Barbados Light and Power?
I am going to call as soon as I come out of the air now, because I'm getting really mad and they got to do something, because they've done it before. And when I, that couple of years back, and When I call them, they send this man. He goes and look where the, you know, your meter is, and said the meter, you know, have things in it. When I get my husband get a professional person to come and look, there was nothing wrong. And this person worked internationally all over the world. Nothing was wrong with the meter. And they're trying to use these kind of excuses when they do not want to settle you. And it's wrong.
When you have to look at Leighton Power's overall performance, how much would you give them from a scale from 1 to 10?
In the last, say, 15 years, 20 years, I would give them about... I would give them about 60, but since this new company take over, it's worse. It's never been so bad. Never. Because, you know, you could go... Now we have to be buying... what do you call it? The protector?
Surge protectors.
And they're not cheap.
But surge protectors, I believe, whether it's new Leighton Power or old Leighton Power, that's a practice that was communicated to the public for years.
But in those days, I never have to buy one.
But they don't make the equipment probably... Well, you know, you can't blame Leighton Power now for the type of equipment that's being manufactured, but I would imagine how expensive your flat-screen TVs and the fancy fridges and stuff like that. It would be in the best interest of all to buy surge protectors.
Yeah, we don't mind buying. We got to, you know, you got to upgrade. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the constantly power cut we're getting. And they kill it. Thank God this time, I don't think it's a monkey this time. It keeps going.
How many power cuts you said you would have said you had in the month already? Two?
No, this week we have two.
Two this week. How many for the month?
Well, don't forget the last time was 8 hours and 6 hours.
And that was last year.
Right, okay. Late last year. Mm-hmm. Right, and this is ridiculous. I
totally understand. And having been in that field working for a utility company, I do understand. However, in all fairness to Leighton Power, I still feel, when I look at Leighton Power, I still feel that they're still the best utility company. Well, the gas company is. NPC is quite good, but NPC can't play. And NPC knows that if there's a leak, they must address it right away. But the customer base for NPC is not as wide as it is for Leighton Power. So the demand for NPC is not as great as the Barbados Leighton Power. But I can't share that with you or anyone in the public to say that Leighton Power, even with the challenges, I still believe that they're still the best utility company in this country right now.
Well,
that's my take.
The next trouble is, the worst thing is, you cannot use your phone. One time you could have used your landline to call out, right? Now you cannot. Suppose somebody's sick and they don't have a cell phone. What would happen?
But then you're going to blame the telephone company for changing into the fiber optics, not Leighton Power.
We're trying to do that with this, you know, and it's like a dead horse. Like, you better not ask that team 2-1, and then the next time we come in, it's so far behind, they could put another race and still catch it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing I agree with, what, the government now is trying to do away with 11 plus, right, or whatever. I believe it should be, you know, abolished. But the only problem is now, every children that have the potential of doing good. As you know me say, some children get very nervous when it's exam time. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And if you put them in a room by themselves to do the exam, you know they will do good. But in a class where everyone have to sit and do the exam, the children can't even put down their name. And I think give the government time till, as they say, they're going to have a discussion on it. Let's see what the public... But I would say that the children should have it. Yes, let the parents pay if they want to, you know, give extra lesson, because that's happening in the UK. We do not have no sitting exam, but, you know, your children is... there's a word I want to call. And all they do, in a way, you know, they mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they still do private lessons. Because, as I say, my husband, daughter-in-law, she does private lessons. And I know a few people that give private lessons on a Saturday and Sunday, but not during the week, to their children. They still do it even when the children is in secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
They still give them private lessons.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. This is Winnie, right? You have children. You went, I don't know what they do in Jamaica back then in those days. But
No, I never go to school. I went to school up to about 8 or 9. But no, we okay. in those days, you
okay.
know.
But when you send a child to school, why are you sending them to school to learn? Correct.
To learn, and they got to do. I'm not going to give no private lesson.
No, I but tell the thing is with the 11 plus, where I'm trying to gather some information here because we have some obviously various takes on it, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But when people send children to school, I get the impression from some of our persons here sending WhatsApps. That it's about a competition. It's about it's good to let them do better than others. And I'm saying, well, I don't agree. I think
I don't agree either.
I want my child to go to school and learn, but not look who's next to her to try to do better than someone else. I want my child to do their personal best, whatever that is. So I was just saying, what is your take? But you just answered that that's not something you.
No, I send my child to school, listen to what the teachers say, do not fight. If somebody interfere with you, well, you have to defend yourself. Go and do what the teachers say. Come home on time and do what you got to do, your homework, and that's it. I never pressure my 4 children, never. My sisters, never. My niece now have kids, they never do that. They make sure that they go to school and do what it, and if they do wrong, you take that, you know, they're going to pay for it. In the UK, they are going to pay mm-hmm. for it with their backside, you know. They have to sit down and do their own work and go to school and listen to what the teachers say. Some children are very, cannot sit one place. They got their name for it. We call it, there's some children cannot sit down one. They have to keep
attention
getting
attention deficit disorder.
I have mm-hmm. that. I cannot, you know, if I go to church, if mm-hmm. you believe in me, I go to church, I have to get up 10 times to go outside. I can't sit down too long. I got to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some children like that. And those are the children you got to able to help.
Well, the world is made up of all types. We just have to make the playing field as fair as possible and leave no one behind.
Yeah, and that's all I can say. Just give it time. And we're talking about, one more thing, talking about backyard gardening. Remember when Mr. Arthur bring it up, we all got to learn to do a little backyard gardening to help ourselves. He was criticized. Now it's everyone wants, you know, the government now are telling the people and everyone is telling people, do a little backyard gardening. But the only thing, if you do a backyard gardening, the monkey going to help you. You understand? Okay, then. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your contribution. Down to Brass Tacks, 10:34, you are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want you to rush me off before around. I know it's as fast, so I'm going to abide by the rules, but I want to give me some time. I want to respond to your preamble, but before I do that, I really would like to know what is the purpose and functions of the Town and Country Planning Department. Why ask that? Sunday last week, I read in the paper there's some youngsters at Ellis Road and House Road who was trying to earn a living. And the structure was knocked down because it was deemed illegal. I remember well, I can keep on talking about this. The structure by the fall mill that houses Rock Hard Cement was also deemed illegal. Notices were placed, said it was going to court. If you have a cement plant right next door to a flour mill, that producer flour that people got to eat. You think all that nobody should hear now from the court? Why nobody let down that? But town planning seem to be on a mission of targeting the small man. It is wrong. If that is the case, I think the town planning section need to be gotten rid of because it serves no useful purpose. It's just that the apartheid system. No one is talking about this, and I'm surprised. I only know, but that's why Mark Williams came and talked about it. And then I saw it for myself, and claiming that the dust will not get into the flour mill,
mm-hmm.
right? right now we are facing problem with the Sahara dust that travel 22,000 miles here. My advice to people then, don't buy any flour that is produced in Barbados because you're putting your life at risk. Don't buy nothing.
And you say that to say that you are familiar with the flour that is produced overseas and you can see what actually goes into that?
Well, you know what? They know, don't hurt it. I know that there's a cement plant by the flour mill. I know what's going on in St. Vincent, but I know what's going on here. I think it's time enough, right? I've been saying this for years, that small people need to come together, forget the foolish, petty differences, because that's what keeps me divided, you know, and fight the system. Other countries does it. And we plan a program talking about 11 plus and education. Educated with what? To be fooled?
Let me ask you a question pertaining to the flour cement situation. Has anybody gone to see what measures have been put in place to protect the setup of the flour plant, to see what testing is done, to see that it met the standards before you or others come and jump to the conclusion that we should not buy Bajan flour and say that blindly without having the facts?
Nobody should have to go and see. That information should be made public. I know what to. And people get together and make the decisions and come and tell the public something. I remember the thing with the AIDS, you know, when Shawsberg was on television and when he made his comments, a certain person denied it.
Mm-hmm. But let me just ask before you move on, because I don't know, and maybe you can correct me, when these statements were made, no one came on, put an ad out, a press statement to say anything?
Anything.
Okay.
That's an Oliver, but it's a court case. And haven't heard even anything about a court case.
Mm-hmm.
These things are wrong.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you 100%. I'm saying that if people are concerned, like yourself, about the flour and in terms of where it's situated with the cement plant, then I think they have all right to produce some sort of press release to either give Barbadians a level of comfort that all is well.
And speaking about that too, you see that quarantine standard seven, so Lucy, I remember, and then what the...
This is a different topic now? This is something else?
When the cement plant was built on there, they were told dust is going to go to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
The sea suddenly become a land. People don't got bought houses then. All the residents are there suffering with that.
Mm-hmm.
Your thing quickly. What your thing about men getting... If a mom got two women pregnant, get it. Yes, you should get it. Women just get everything.
Wait. Hold on, because you just made me sit up a bit. So if you have three children, clearly the woman can only get pregnant
one.
Sorry, let me finish. Let me ask, because I didn't hear you, but I'm responding. Three children, three different women, obviously, unless, you know, the woman has triplets and you're talking about three children. So you're saying that you're working, you can apply for paternity leave for one, the other one born 2 months after the first one, so you get paternity leave there. Then the third one then comes 3 months after that, and then you get paternity leave and the money there too. That's what you're saying?
Who get the other woman pregnant? You?
No, the point is, you're saying that a man then, so basically he's got paid holiday for a year, and no doubt that, I don't know, he may not have the time to spend with all three. He may not even decide to spend the time with any of them. He might be busy continuing to be fruitful and multiplying elsewhere. No one knows.
You're still there, right? And I am, for years, men have been deemed to be worthless, right? Men have been deemed to be village round. Right.
Not village anymore. We're talking parish lambs, parish rams now, and national rams.
It's how I would deem a man worthless. If you have four women and four men, and a man, you say you're going to live with another, that's worthless. But when you got four women and four men and 20 women, will you expect your man to create life? No man on this earth and create life. The father did it. How come it was right in the biblical days a man was allowed X amount of weight and some clown come up with this thing called bigamy? For whatever reason.
That's a separate topic that requires maybe a separate show. So I want to thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 1041. You are on the air.
Hello, ma'am. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Yeah, my heart beating a little fast because I've been having a bit of a hard time recently because I've had a bit of a heart problems a few years ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, because recently my father was not very well because he had an infection in his prostate. So between November and so, he used to be very sick and he had a lot of problems and he had to go to eventually hospital, but unfortunately he didn't get any medical attention on there at all. So he went to FMH and he was able to get medicine like simplifloxacin and things like that to help him to pass urine. Mm-hmm. And he was been gradually starting to improve. We've been getting help from the National Assistance Board in helping to keep the house clean and so, you know. But sometime yesterday, I had a difficulty, due to having to look after him. I had asked Cynthia Ford's office, she's Minister of People's Empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying a lady, to just have a full checkup of what's going on. So I tell her that I would see if we can get a nurse that would help him in the early hours in the morning because how things and how difficult things have been. Because there were times recently I've been forgetting things, I even forgetting my house keys. So things, were not that easy. So I was just having some rest yesterday afternoon. And two women from the National Assistance Board, the manager, the original manager, she passed away, but this other, the new manager, I don't know this other manager here, but she came over, but she should have knocked on the front door. They just came in and I just suddenly walked up and I seen them standing over me and they were quarreling a bit about how the house was looking a bit and explaining to them what was going on with my father. And, my father's at myself because I have to bring, a bucket near him so that he can pass his urine.
Yes.
Basin,
Mm-hmm.
So he was having difficulty in passing urine, but at least it's starting to gradually improve. But I find that when he becomes anxious or tense, he gets worse. So... the lady, management, she reacted in a way that wasn't very gentle with him, a bit rough with him, and he got more tense and so, and he wasn't feeling well last night nor this morning, but this morning at least he's starting to pass urine again, but it's been hard. It's not.
You have the names of the individuals that...
The names of the individuals?
I mean in terms of would you have... been when they came, they introduced themselves. Mm. Where which organization they're from.
Yeah, it's but the Barbados.
Okay.
NAB? Blue. Yeah,
National Assistance Board.
Assistance Board. Right.
So I'm sure they would have given you the names, their names.
Yeah, they have papers that they come and sign.
Mm-hmm. So if you felt that the treatment was not keeping with the standards of the NAB. Then mm-hmm. I think you should report it as well.
They didn't curse again about anything like that, but they were too tall, a little too rough to him
mm-hmm.
because it's a tall book. He has a pants nearby that he keeps, in case anybody comes in. But how he was yesterday and so,
mm-hmm.
I had to keep the bucket near him and so. So
when they were talking like that to him, where were you?
I was coming over to sleep.
Oh.
When they came in, see what they should have did is knock on the front door. So,
but maybe they did, and you didn't hear.
And apparently, he told me that one of them that Noah's in the one with the glasses, she saw him through the window, and she smiled.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, they opened the door, but he told me that they did not knock. So that was the right thing that they should have done.
Mm-hmm. But you should have a chat with them, though. I mean, even though I said you could share the names with their bosses and stuff, I mean, that would not be the first step, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that if they do things that, you're not comfortable with, it's good to pull them one side, certainly not in front of your dad.
No.
And then say to them that, you're not feeling comfortable with certain things.
Yeah.
And how best can we, make my father more comfortable
and tell
them what you do and don't appreciate because they can't always complain. It must be something that they're doing right, I'm sure. Some things.
Yeah, I understand.
And you do it there. I would urge you to do that. And any person who's having challenges with caregivers, is always best not you gotta be scared of them, but just remember when people are looking after your family and you're not there, you don't want to treat them with any disrespect because they may in turn take it out on. That should never be the case, but some people do it, you know. So it's always good to talk it out and just explain how you feel, and hopefully, and if you're not happy with it as you move forward, then you make the complaint, you make the suggestion to the NAB if they can send someone else, because clearly the personalities are not working out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the other lady you see that used to be down here in that department, she passed away, so I didn't see anybody come too recently coming to sign the papers, but the one of the ladies that will work with us, she's a friendly lady, she comes on a regular basis, so I had no problem with her, but it's just that what happened yesterday, it started me because, you see, I was I thought first, when I first heard talking, I thought it was the nursing people coming to take a look and see what was happening. I didn't know what was going on, so.
Someone here is asking on the WhatsApp, what is your idea of being rough? Not that I want you to, well, you can answer it, but I would like to answer it. You know, people have to understand that what one person feels may not be what the other person feels. So someone will come to me and I may not think it was rough, but it's how you felt. And if you took it in the way that you did and you felt it was rough, well, then it was rough for you. It's all relative.
Well, my life has not been a very easy one, see, because I lost my mother when I was 7 going on 8. I don't have any brothers and sisters, so my life in the surf hasn't been very easy. I had very serious problems for the past couple of years. So my life has not been a very easy one, everyone else.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anything that you can count that is good?
Well, I'm glad that I'm in the land of the living. That's one thing.
Number one, hallelujah, correct. We have
right,
life.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
So
it hasn't been an easy one.
So you want to... I'll share something with you, and it's totally up to you when you get off the phone right after we speak. Sometimes it's good to write down all the things that you feel that you've been blessed with. And even though you feel as if everything and nothing's gone right, if you write down that list and you start with, okay, well, today I'm still here. That's number one. And then write a list of all the things that you're grateful for. You would be surprised to see that sometimes your blessings exceed your burdens.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still hope, and don't give up. It's tough, but and it's tough for a lot of people, but it makes it kind of stronger, even though I know that may not be giving you some comfort, but it really does. And I don't want to go all gospel on people, but, you know, you really got to trust in God, and all will be well. All right?
Yeah.
So but I want to thank you, though, for sharing your experience with us. Is there anything you want to...
I wanted to also talk concerning the common entrance, because I'm glad that you guys rose about it, because when I was saying the common entrance after my mom's death, and so my life, you know, it was not very, I even had to repeat class 2 form, and so when I did the common entrance, it was very hard on me because my father himself, he was not well, and he had to spend time in the psychiatric hospital. So, doing the common entrance wasn't very easy. My grandma at times, she suffered a bit of mood swings. You know, at times she could be calm, and at some point she could be very aggressive, and so you know, it wasn't easy on my part. So I was glad you discussed it with common entrance, because some people think that mass and things
English
are the only
is
things.
All.
But I find that history is sometimes a good subject to study, because I do a lot of reading and I do a lot of research into history, and I find it can be very informative on things that you don't always.
There's another blessing you can write on your list of being grateful, because you can see, you can read, you can you have the ability to speak to me. You seem very articulate, and you are. And so despite the fact of whatever challenges you might have gone through, and you will continue to go through some, you know, it's not so much what happens as how you handle it. But you see that list?
Write
a list of all the things that you are grateful for and that you can see happening. And I'm telling you, it's going to make you look at things different, give you a little burst of energy that you may need. And, you know, and not only call us on Brass Tacks, you know, talk to people who are positive and to help you feel different about how the situation is. You're not alone, I can tell you that, with having a heart problem. You're not alone with having family with health challenges. And there are a lot of people in your situation. And to each his own, how people manage it. But just know that you're not alone. And I mean that in a way where you don't have to feel like if it's only you. You know, and if others can get out of it, or deal with it better, because sometimes you don't actually get out of the situation, you just manage it better. And so I'm wishing that for you, all right?
Because there's another lady that spoke there on the call-in program, Winnie. I find that she's a very kind person when she talks about issues and so. as I heard speak about, you know, many issues, because some people have a big issues about the issues that happen around the world, just as homosexuality and all these types of topics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go on the internet, there's a lot of information out there, because there's a, I see there in the computer, and managed to got access to the internet, and the computer, I can see that King James, that gives the King James version, was a homosexual. That's mm-hmm. something I learned about the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Other things I see there, too, as well, is that Jesus made a comment in Matthew chapter 19, verse 12, about eunuchs. They talk about eunuchs, which are made eunuchs of men. Those are people that were castrated in Bible times. And there were people in the ancient world that did not have desire for women. They're called eunuchs that were born like that from the mother's womb. And then you talk about eunuchs, which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Those were people in his day that abstained from relations, because they had a lot of Jews in Jesus' time, including people called the Essenes that used to dress in white. They wrote some Dead Sea Scrolls.
That's totally a totally different show altogether.
Yeah,
but I really want to thank you so much for your contribution. We'll be back after the break.